Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Friday, December 5th. Thank you for joining us. Another day, another beautiful day. Although it's overcast, but thankfully I'm not alone. I'm joined by a beautiful lady named Kelsey Bolan. Welcome to the show, Kelsey.
Hi. Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Of course. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
You're joining us here today. And you told me you're from somewhere else, right? Nobody's born in LA, you know?
Exactly. So. I've met only a handful of people who were born here, but no, I'm actually from Texas.
Oh, wow.
I'm a transplant.
Yeah. You don't have a Texas accent, though. Did you have to work on that?
Well, give me a few glasses of wine.
Really?
And I will have a
and
Texas
you switch
accent.
Back?
Yes. All my friends know when it's about that time to cut me off because I start talking with that Texas twang.
Really? But that's interesting.
Isn't that funny? I know.
So, I mean, does it require effort on your part to not have the accent, like when you talk now, normal?
You know, it doesn't.
Really?
I'm from San Antonio area, mm-hmm. and we typically don't have accents. I would say more East Texas people, Louisiana area, have accents, have that deep Southern accent that people so associate with Texas in the South.
Right.
But where I'm from, we don't necessarily have an accent.
Okay, so just a little bit or something.
Little bit. Yeah. It comes out every now and then.
Yeah. Well, I believe you. I mean, if you have a few drinks and you switch back to that, then I get it.
Exactly.
Well, that's very cool. So when did you move to L.A.?
You know what? It's going to be my 2-year anniversary in February.
Wow.
I know.
Very cool.
Coming up on 2 years. And it feels like just yesterday. You know, it's true what they say. Mm-hmm. You're out by the pool reading a script one day and you wake up the next day and you're 45. It just flies in the city, time
yeah,
does.
That's true, yeah. But you still got some time till you're 45, I imagine.
A little bit
so,
of time,
yeah,
yes.
Just a little bit of
time. I turn
time.
21 every year, so.
Yeah, huh? That's good. I should do that, too. I'll try that sometime. Well, maybe I can't pass for 21, but maybe 30. Nobody
30,
will
yeah.
notice.
Oh,
there
definitely.
You go. I definitely feel 30, so, you know, I mean.
That's all that matters.
Exactly, exactly. Well, it's bullshit, but
no.
Don't believe it, you know. I mean, you hit your 50s, and it's not the same, you know. I already forgot 45.
Really? Yeah. That's what my dad said. He is 53 now.
Yeah.
His gray hair is starting to come out more and more. I keep telling him he's getting a little bit more salt with that pepper.
There you go. Huh?
Yes.
I know. We don't stay young forever. But, you know, the way I look at it is, you know, because people like are afraid of death and complain and why do we have to die and are afraid of it and stuff. But, you know, the way I view this is we get a gift that we get to use for quite a while, and
right.
then we have to give it back, you know? I mean, it's not like nobody promised us we're going to be here forever, and we just have to understand that it's a limited time, you know, and live accordingly.
Right,
try
I
to
totally
make the
agree.
Best of it.
It's such a gift.
Yeah.
And especially to live in America. I'm a
oh, yeah.
American.
Oh, yeah. That's where everybody goes to, so, you know, you right. know it's the best place to be.
Exactly, and you know, death doesn't have to be something that's feared. For me, I look at it as something that is looked forward to almost because it's the ultimate peace.
I guess.
I'm sure a lot of people would disagree with me about that.
Yeah.
But, you know, you get to see your loved ones who have passed away. And
that's if you believe that. Yeah.
If you believe and you're ultimately at peace and hopefully you've lived a good, full life.
Yeah, exactly. What scares me more is getting old rather than dying, you know.
I agree, actually.
You know, I mean, wouldn't you just rather die quickly rather than slowly being old and sick and all that stuff, you know what I mean?
I totally would. I definitely don't want to suffer. No one wants to suffer.
Right.
And, you know, nobody wants to end up in a nursing home for 30 years or however long or, you know, something undesirable like that. So
yeah.
I agree. I don't know about the getting old part, but the living part is
yeah.
great.
There you go. There you go. But we have to go with the flow, and I guess our fate has probably been decided before, at least the way we die, you know. I don't know if when we die is predetermined, but I think how we die pretty much is, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what to believe.
You know, I try to not do anything to exacerbate the process
yeah.
and make it happen faster than it should. But I believe that as well, that when it's my time, it's my time.
Yeah.
So c'est la vie, and hopefully I've done everything I can to live a full and happy life.
Awesome. So far, has your life been happy and smooth, would you say?
Smooth?
Or did you have bumpy roads?
I don't know about that, but yeah. Happy, yes.
Yeah. Because you don't look like you have any problems at all. You're smiling all the time. And
You know, everybody says that, and yeah. I am smiling all the time because I just figure the things that are going wrong in my life or that I'm not particularly happy about or ecstatic about are not necessarily things that I can always change.
That's true.
So that's true. I might as well just sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride.
That's a good philosophy.
It is. And, you know, that's the great thing about being in America is we're never going to die of hunger here,
right.
Probably. There is a chance, but we have a great system in place, and I've got a roof over my head. I've got food. I've got clothes. What more do I need? You know, a wise person once told me that money is cheap. It's freedom that's expensive.
Wow, that's
and
good.
And I think that is such an amazing statement.
That's true.
And such a true statement.
Right.
So I have really completely turned my philosophy around upon moving to LA, which is kind of ironic.
Yeah.
Seeing that LA is quite materialistic in some senses.
Yes.
And everybody's worried about the fast cars and the pretty big houses.
Right.
And since I've moved here and lived here for a while, I've seen those people with those big hot cars and pretty houses and everything. And they're not always the happiest.
No,
so.
And they're just people like you and me, you know?
I right. Mean,
even people that have a lot of money, and this town has mucho money.
Yes.
You know, a ton of money in this town. And yeah, I mean, you're right. But, you know, there is that pressure when you see other people living in nice homes and driving nice cars. And there's pressure to live up to that.
You know? There's lots of pressure.
So
definitely.
I imagine many people that can't reach that would get pretty depressed, you know, seeing other people making it. But at the same time, you know, not everybody's looking for that.
Right.
Not everybody needs that for happiness, you know. So I have to agree with you that I think happiness comes from somewhere else, you know. Not,
within, definitely within.
Yeah, not for material things.
Right.
Yeah. That's cool. So, but I imagine in 2 years you probably met a lot of nice people too, right? Or otherwise you wouldn't stay here
exactly. With
only materialistic people.
I know. No, that's not true. I definitely don't want to imply that everyone's materialistic here. That's not true. There are so many great people in LA, contrary to popular belief.
Yeah. No, exactly. And that's what I say to people. We have almost 4 million people here. You know you're bound to find some nice people. And especially when people come from all over the world, you know, not everybody is like a cookie-cutter LA.
Exactly. And I think a lot of the reason why LA gets such a bad rap is because people do move here from everywhere in the world to live that fast, ambitious life and get somewhere. Everyone here is ambitious. Everyone here wants to either, you know, work in the entertainment industry or be a big real estate tycoon or something. No one moves to the big city to, you know, work on the farm and grow some corn, typically,
true, yeah.
right?
Right.
So everyone's kind of in this perpetual rat race.
Uh-huh.
And that, a lot of times, I think turns people off.
Yeah.
But when you really get to know those people that are caught up in the rat race,
right.
they're not all that bad.
Exactly. And even the drivers that irritate you on the road, these people are usually nice people. You know, it just said,
I agree.
You know, when you get on the road, you're with so many strangers and you can't really communicate with them because everybody's in their own car. That's why you get like a lot of like road rage and people getting pissed off and stuff, you know.
Oh, my God.
Because there's no other situation where you put in so many people in the same place and they're all trying to get somewhere.
Right. You know, me and driving do not have a very happy history together. I've gotten so much better, and I now realize why insurance companies drop that rate at 25. I recently turned 25, and I got to tell you, I have completely matured in the past year. So I have. Yeah. And it also helps that I got this car that is practically like a flashing red light when I'm driving down the road. If I try to switch lanes and there's somebody on either side in my blind spot, it'll go beep, 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 beep.
And really?
This little triangle on my mirror. I also have a backup camera, which is going to become mandatory in 2015, by the way. Yes, which I think is a great idea because
that would have
saved me a lot of money in the past repairing vehicles.
Yeah.
And it also has a front sensor. So if I am about to hit a car in the front, rear end somebody, it will beep. And also, if I'm going over a bump that's too steep and I'm about to bottom out, it'll also beep telling me to slow down.
Really?
So I've had good luck with it so far. It's a foolproof plan, I like to think.
A foolproof plan. Yeah, there you go. And so your car's red, too. You're wearing red. Your car's red. You like red, huh?
I do.
Yeah,
I
you know that
it.
It's my favorite color, too.
Really?
And I think red and black go best together, don't you?
I like red and black. I got my windows tinted.
Really?
In my car. Yes, which is hilarious because I actually bought the car in Texas. And the regulations for tinting in Texas versus L.A. Are just night and day. I mean, you can only get the windows tinted a minute bit. I forget what the percentages are, but I think you have to have 80% light coming through for them to be legal in LA. And in Texas, they can be almost 100% blacked out.
Oh,
yes,
wow.
I know. So the guy at the tent place just was not very happy with having to follow California regulations because he couldn't really do much. He had to put such a light tent on.
Wow.
Yeah, but I think
it looks
interesting.
Good. Yeah, yeah, that's cool. So did you drive by yourself from Texas to here?
You know, initially I did. I don't think my parents believed me until I actually had all of my stuff loaded up.
Really?
And was about to head out west. But I did. I drove my little Chevy Equinox all the way out here, all 24 hours, I think it was.
Really? Straight?
From Hondo, Texas.
Not straight, though.
Not straight. Yeah. No, no, no.
But 24 hours, that's not too bad. I mean, you know, you do a couple stops and stuff. It's not too bad. It's not like going to the East Coast.
Right. I stopped one night. I stayed in New Mexico. I think I stayed in Albuquerque. And that was nice. So it wasn't bad. It really wasn't bad. But then the second time when I went back to buy my other car, I switched my mom's cars and then she drove out with me.
Oh, okay.
And yeah. So that was a lot of fun. We had a good time.
Very cool. When did you know anybody when you moved to LA? Did you know anybody here?
I didn't know a soul.
Really?
Yes. You can call it brave or crazy.
Yeah.
Arguably both.
Yeah.
But I didn't know anyone. And believe it or not, I actually didn't even have an apartment.
Wow.
So I drove into LA. And the first place I wanted to go was the Beverly Wilshire because of the Pretty Woman movie. I just had to see the Pretty Woman Hotel.
Wow.
And so I went there. Had a nice little cocktail.
Yeah.
And once I was done with that, I was a little more relaxed and then could decide what I was going to do.
Cool.
And
but you didn't stay at the hotel, though.
I didn't. Oh, no. That's a little out of my price range.
It's pricey. Yeah. Very pricey.
Right. But I stayed in a little cheaper hotel and then found a place the next day. So.
Oh, cool. It takes a lot of courage to do that, though, huh? I mean, to move to a new place. Had you been here before?
I had been here one time when I was about a baby, 19 years old, I think I was. And I'd come out with my dad and my sister. And my mom stayed at home in Texas. She was working. She's a teacher, a counselor. But my dad and sister and I came out, my little sister. And we had a great time. We stayed at the Sofitel in Beverly Hills. And it was interesting because my dad is just such a Texas guy. I mean, he is out of his element in L.A.
Really,
like,
huh?
We were driving the car up to the valet at the Sofitel, and the valet walks up to the car, and my dad looks at both of us and just says, "What are they doing? What's going on?" And my sister and I say, "Dad, it's the valet. Get out of the car." And he says, well, why can't I just park it? I just want to park my own car. And we're get out of the car, Dad. Come on. Get out of the car. So, I mean, you know.
I know. Guys are like that. They don't like somebody driving their car.
I think so, too. Maybe it's just a guy thing. I don't know.
It is.
But then we were walking around in L.A. And, you know, it's like, okay, are there any going to be any random bullets flying around here? My dad's just, you know, and mind you, we're in Beverly Hills, California,
right?
So he was a little out of his element, but.
So you grew up where you guys lived. It wasn't obviously a big city, right?
It's I'm from a little town called Hondo, Texas, with a population of about 7,000.
Really?
I think. Yes. Whoa. It's tiny. Yes. We're about 45 minutes west of San Antonio.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I love the little town. It's cute. It's quaint. And it's home. It's definitely home.
Yeah, that's true. And did you live on a farm?
I did. I grew up on a farm off of Highway 173, which is... people from the area will know, but it was gorgeous. A few acres and horses. I'm a barrel racer, actually, by trade.
Wow. Tell us what that is.
It is a rodeo event. I don't know how many of you viewers are familiar with the sport of rodeo, but if you are, then I'm sure you know that the National Finals Rodeo is happening right now in Las Vegas, Nevada.
I had
to stay up last night and listen to it. At 7 o'clock California time. It's in Vegas right now. And basically, barrel racing is a timed event on a horse. There are three barrels set up in a cloverleaf pattern. And you run around them in a cloverleaf pattern. And there's a timer. And so you cross the timer plane once, then you circle around the barrels, and then you cross it again, and whoever has the fastest time wins.
Really?
Yes. And you can't hit a barrel, obviously, because if you hit a barrel, there's a penalty, which basically will knock you out of the money.
Yes,
but it's a fun sport, and I miss it. I don't rodeo out here in L.A. because I don't know where I would keep my horse.
Yeah. Huh?
Or how I would get there in a timely manner to feed it.
So do you have your own horse? I mean, do you still do back home?
I do in Texas. We do.
Yeah.
Yes, we do. We always keep a circulation of young horses, and then, we have some old retired ones that we just can't bear to get rid of, so there are pasture ornaments for the time being. But
I know that's true. We don't think about what happens to older animals, huh?
I know. It's so funny because whenever you finish riding a horse and their rodeo career is over, and there's this one horse named Jake who I started on, and I spent years with him, won my first competitions on him, won my first saddles, buckles, everything. And I mean, we could just never sell him now. And he's a little crippled. And I mean, there's really not anything we could do with him except love him and treat him well. And
that's true. I mean, we don't get this here because the most we get is dogs and cats.
Exactly.
But when you raise horses, I imagine you get pretty close to them as well.
They're
like part of the family.
They're so amazing and such personable creatures. Mm-hmm. And I really think that they're a lot smarter than we give them credit
for.
Yeah,
I think horses are pretty smart, huh?
They are.
Yeah.
They are. So I miss them. I miss animals in general out here in the concrete jungle.
Yeah, huh?
I live in a complex where I see dogs occasionally. So every now and then I'll ask some of my neighbors if I can just pet their dog or take him for a little walk. But I'll leave the poop picking up to them.
Oh yeah, there you go.
We don't do that back home. So.
No, huh? You don't have to.
We don't have to. I mean, it's a big old field. It's free fertilizer.
Yeah, that's true. True, yeah. But here you walk the streets, man, and there's dog poop everywhere.
I know.
You have to be careful. And some people don't pick it up.
They don't.
Yeah.
I know.
And that's, that's now against the law not to pick it up, but some people still.
It is. I read that on a sign. It is the law.
Yes. Yeah, you have to.
Right by the little dog park.
I know.
Which is so perplexing to me because back home, I mean, they just run around in the field. I mean, I never would have thought about.
Right.
Putting dog poop in a bag and having to throw it away. But, welcome to the city.
Disgusting, right?
I know. It's gross.
I know. That's one of the reasons I'm not getting a dog, because I'm not picking up shit,
I know.
It makes me ill.
It's not appealing.
No, not at all. But, I can understand that people will do that because they love their dog so much. It's like a family member. And to them, it's not a big deal. When you change your own baby, It's not gross, their shit and stuff, because it's your baby.
Oh, my my God. You know, I know my mom is crazy about our dogs.
Really?
We have this little dog named Skipper. Well, we have two. One named Skipper, one named Rowdy.
Uh-huh.
And I swear she is going to have those dogs stuffed and mounted on our fireplace.
Really? She loves them that much?
Oh, she loves those dogs. They are... My older sister, Juliana, is pregnant.
Oh, wow.
Yes. We're so excited.
Congratulations.
She's due in February.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. We're so excited. She's going to have a little baby girl, her and her husband, Sam.
Wow. Do they live out here or back there?
No, they live back home in Texas. Uh-huh. Yes. Her name is going to be Kaylee Jane.
Oh,
so
wow.
We're really excited. And for the longest time, my mom would look at those little dogs and say, these are the only grandchildren I'm ever going to have. So now she can officially stop saying that.
That's true, huh?
She's going to have an actual grandbaby.
That's true.
Soon.
That's pretty cool. So do you have only the one sister or do you have other siblings too?
I have two. I have an older sister named Juliana, and then I have a younger sister named Brooke. Who,
oh, okay. So you're in the middle.
I'm right in the middle. Yeah. Yes. Where all the trouble starts, right?
That's
in the middle.
That's true, huh?
Yes. Yes. Ask anyone. They will tell you.
Really? I usually find the middle ones to be more, I think, more down to earth, more grounded, I think. I don't know why I see that, but but I do, you know, because I think firstborns like me, for example, a lot of pressure to perform, you know, and,
sure.
and stuff. And the second one, it's easier because they have an older brother or sister, you know, they're not alone. They have a role model and stuff. So I think it's a little different. But birth order is very real, you know. How
it is.
And it's been a topic that's been researched for many years. And I've read up on it. And it really makes sense, you know, that firstborns are different from the youngest ones and from the middle ones. And if you're... even if you're born, if you're the second child, but you're a girl and the first one is a boy, then the girl pretty much would be treated like a firstborn and
right.
things like that, you know. So so it makes a lot of sense, you know.
It does. But, I feel like the firstborn kind of has to take the brunt of everything.
Yeah, pretty much.
I wouldn't know firsthand,
yeah.
but they're kind of like the guinea pig
yeah.
in every situation.
I know, and they have to grow up alone until there's another sibling, you know.
Exactly.
So that's so it's different. But if you claim there's trouble out of you, then we'll believe it, you know.
Well, and then by the time the third one came along, I mean, my parents had it all figured out.
Yeah.
So she was good to go. And, you know, after me and all my little shenanigans,
yeah.
I'm sure she could do no wrong. She's like, she's perfect anyways, you know.
Really?
She's great. Yeah, she's in Macomb's business school at the moment.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, she's getting her business degree from...
Oh, wow.
It's UT Austin. If people who aren't familiar with Austin, Texas, wouldn't right. know of Macomb's, but it's the business school, very highly ranked business school within Texas University. University
yeah.
of Texas at Austin.
And Austin is pretty much a college town. I've
oh,
been
it
there
is.
A couple
I went
times.
There. Oh,
yeah.
I'm a UT alum. Hook 'em, everybody.
Really?
Yes. I love, love, love the University of Texas at Austin.
Wow.
Very proud alumni. It was the time of my life. It was so much fun.
Really?
Yes. My little sister sends me Snapchats all the time. Do you Snapchat?
No, I don't.
Oh, you
I don't see
Snapchat.
The point in doing that
oh,
unless it's
Snapchat.
Sex pictures. I don't know. Why would you want to destroy a picture that you get? I thought it's meant for sexting and nothing else.
For
sex. You know?
Well, you know, I think it originally was.
Uh-huh.
And I remember reading all these articles on like leaked Snapchats
uh-huh.
of, you know, people with like screen, because you can screenshot it. But
that's true.
Right. But the fun thing about Snapchat is it notifies the person who sent it if the receiver screenshot it.
Really? Oh,
right.
Wow.
So this little notification, and you know, it'll say like screenshot or so and so took a screenshot of your Snapchat. But I'm always screenshotting them, you
really?
Know, so that I can keep them. Yeah.
yeah.
And then, you know, if I send one, it gives you the option to save it into your photo gallery.
Right.
So I do that as well so that, you know, so that the picture isn't wasted.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But now, why would you send Snapchat pictures? Why would you send a picture that you want it to not be permanent?
You know, I think that your original assessment is correct. I think it originally was intended for, like, sexting type
right.
stuff. I don't know. But I think that it's more the aspect of the events being in real time that's appealing.
Oh, okay.
Right. So what you can also do is put together what's called a Snapchat story, which I actually just recently discovered. It's hilarious because I used to do my little Snapchat, and then I used to take the time to click on each name I wanted to send it to.
Oh.
Which is absolutely insane.
Yeah.
I know. So much for that college education. Apparently, all you have to do is just add it to your story, and it'll all of your friends or contacts or Snapchat friends will be able to view it.
I see.
Right. So I recently discovered that, which is much more efficient.
So you can photobomb everybody.
Exactly. Huh? Exactly. But I don't know. I think everyone is just so into it because it's fun and you can just keep everyone up to date on your life. And I don't know. I don't know what is so appealing about it. But I just.
But you like
it. I like it. There's something about. They hit the jackpot. I wish I could invent a Snapchat. It's worth, like, I believe $3 billion or something
really?
Like that.
Wow.
Yes. Finally buy my house in Malibu.
Yeah.
And we'll be cooking.
Yeah. I know. Well, you're still young. You never know.
You
know.
Never know. I always said by the time I'm. You know, it's so funny because we were at Thanksgiving this year. And when I'm in LA, just happy as a lark, you know, going about my business with all the other young single folks out here. And then I get home and everyone's just married off and popping out babies. And I never cease to avoid the question of when I'm going to get married by my family, which is hilarious to me.
Yeah, what's the rush?
What is the rush? Yeah. I mean, I've got too much to live for.
Yeah, and still a lot to do, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, once you get married, your life changes forever, you know? And just like when you have a baby.
Right.
Your life changes. And some people, you know, you might, if you don't really live it out beforehand, then you might feel that I missed out on something.
Right. I agree. Know? And, you know, this might come back to haunt me one day. I'm never going to say never. I will get married one day, I'm sure, once I find my victim. But I'm in no rush.
Yeah.
And I like being free, quite honestly. Mm-hmm. And I like having no one to answer to.
Yeah.
That
I agree.
Is priceless to me.
Yeah, that's freedom.
It is freedom. Right. And I think when you find that person that allows you to live like that,
right,
where you still are free and be yourself, then you've got the best of both worlds.
That's true. Yeah.
Right.
Well, good luck finding one. You know, I mean,
yes.
It might take you a few years, but but eventually you probably
maybe I'll get married one day. You never know.
Yeah. Well, you need to find that. That dream man that you just described. And not many people are like that, you know. I mean, a lot of people get possessive with their spouses.
A lot of people do. I have girlfriends who have been through that whole song and dance, and, you know, it's not a good thing. That possessive trait is really nothing but a distraction from life goals,
yeah,
I believe.
That's true.
It is best avoided.
So you're pretty independent. I mean, you don't like to answer to people and stuff.
I really don't.
Yeah.
I like to think I'm independent. I love my friends and I love my family and I love people. I do. But I am independent, and I do like to live my own life and do my own thing and kind of march to the beat of my own drum.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, that's the way to do it, you know, I think.
I think so, too.
And sometimes you do. I mean, some people are lucky to meet, you know, a spouse that would be, you know, totally complimentary to them. You
sure.
Know? But it doesn't happen a lot, I don't think.
Right.
You know? Yeah, because that's why you have so much divorce going on.
I know. You know, it was so funny because we were sitting around the dinner table just chowing down on our turkey. And I was turning 25 the next day. This was Thursday on Thanksgiving. And my birthday is on the 28th of November. So I turned
28. Oh, wow.
Happy birthday. 28. No, say it isn't so. On the 28th of November, I turned 25.
Yeah.
So let me clarify. And my mom was just joking around, and she said, well, you know, I hate to say it, but don't wait till all the good ones are gone. And I said, Mom, please, 50% of them are going to be back on the market in no time.
That's true.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
It's not like it used to be, okay?
That's true. So true. I mean, but so if you met someone who's pretty cool, you wouldn't mind if they're divorced or anything. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, of course not. Mm. No.
Yeah. It's not like a stigma like it used to be.
Not for me.
Right.
Not for me. I believe that I look at the heart of somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So really, age and, you know, ethnicity and past, all of those things, I don't necessarily factor in. Now, I do think that it is important to kind of look at past behavior in a sense.
Yeah.
Because that is oftentimes a predictor of future behavior.
That's true, yeah.
Yes. So you shouldn't be totally blind. Mm-hmm. I mean, for example, if someone has cheated multiple times on multiple spouses, odds are they're not a changed man.
Right. Okay? Right.
I mean, yeah. Odds are they're going to do it to you too.
Right.
But
you may not ever find out that they cheated before,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. And but ultimately speaking, when it comes to past, like divorces and things like that, no, I don't. My sister's husband, Sam, is salt of the earth. He's amazing. Mm. And he's divorced from his first wife. But they just were not a match. And, you know, it was a mistake. And they, you know, figured it out. And now my sister and he are very happy. So
very cool.
Right. So, no, I don't think that. And kids, I love kids. Uh-huh. So, I, you know, no, I wouldn't mind if if there were some kids in the mix now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool, you know, because some people are not like that. So you're pretty open-minded.
Very open-minded.
Yeah.
Very open-minded.
Very cool. So were you and your sisters close when you were growing up?
We were.
Yeah, all of you.
Yeah, we were.
Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah. We were. My older sister and I are 3 years apart, and then Brooke and I are 5 years apart. So there's like an 8-year gap.
Right.
So Juliana and I, my older sister and I, spent more time together probably because we were closer in age.
Right.
But Brooke and I spend a lot of time together now because she is, you know, in college and I like to think I'm still in college. She'll take my long spring breaks and long summers and, you know. So, yes, we're a really close family and I miss them dearly out here. That's probably the hardest part about being out here, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
So
you went to school in Austin, right?
I did, yeah.
And how were your college years? Were you happy there?
I loved it.
Really?
I loved.
Did you live on campus there in the dorm or?
I didn't. I actually lived right off campus, but there's this little conglomerate. Ooh, tongue twister. A little conglomerate of apartments that make up what we call West Campus.
Mm-hmm.
And I lived in West Campus, which is right by campus. So, I mean, you can walk to class. And it was so convenient and nice, and I loved it. That's probably one of the things I love most about it is it was such a community of students and so much fun. I mean, every Thursday night, they had a little bus going downtown to 6th Street, and, you know, which I'm getting a little too old for now. I tell you what, I'd probably wake up in the morning after a night out on 6th Street and feel like I had just had a minor surgery or something nowadays. But wow. It was fun back then.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Right. So everyone's really, really tight-knit around there and has a lot of fun.
Yeah,
so I liked that aspect of it. And not to mention, Austin is just amazing in general.
Yeah, it's a nice
town.
I'm a
huge fan. Have you ever been there?
Yeah, I've been there. I think I was there, well, at least once. I don't know why I want to say twice, but I think at least once for a convention.
Oh,
and,
okay.
Yeah, so I got to go around all the music places with all the bands. And it's a pretty, happening place.
It is. It's lively. It's happening. It's one of my favorite places in the world.
Very cool.
I know. If I was smart, I would have went ahead and bought a condo there instead of renting when I was in college because it is one of the fastest growing cities in America.
Really?
It is. I think something of like 75 people a day are moving to Austin or something like that.
Wow.
Around about 75. So it's very fast growing and the economy's booming and it's doing good.
Very cool, very cool. So you went to college. Did you make any plans as far as to what you were going to do next? While you were still in college, or did you have to wait till you were out?
Maybe I should have planned better in college. There you go. That's a good idea. Hindsight's 20/20. Yeah. But no, I was a broadcast journalism major, which was a lot of fun. I basically got to anchor the news for our school station and had a lot of fun doing that.
Wow.
So that's why I love radio so much.
Yeah. So what attracted you to communication and broadcasting and stuff? Did you always want to get into that?
Well, I've never been smart enough to be a scientist or, or a doctor or a lawyer. So I figured, what else am I going to be? What else could I possibly do? So then I figured I'd just get into communication. And I've always loved it. You know, when I realized I wanted to do it, I was running for Miss Texas High School Rodeo.
Wow.
Yes, back in my glorious pageant days. And I got up on stage and I just loved it.
Really?
Yeah. And so from then on, I just knew that I wanted to do something in that realm.
Right.
Be it TV or film or news or radio or what have you.
Right. Like creative stuff.
Oh, I love creative stuff. Yeah. I just get so bored.
Yeah, you can't sit like in an office 9 to 5.
No. Yeah. I have to be doing stuff. Oh, if I did that, I would need a few Xanax. And yeah, I don't think I'd be very good at that. I don't know. Maybe I could adapt, but
yeah. When you don't have a choice, you do that. But
right.
Yeah, I was like that for many years, and I don't know how I ever did it. You know, sitting in one place for 9 hours, but many people do that. But creative people can't. They can't sit on their ass for that long, you know?
Right. It wouldn't be my forte.
Yeah.
I can tell you that. So I went to school, and when I graduated, I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do. I had gotten a degree in broadcast journalism. So obviously the natural next step would be to apply at news stations locally.
Right.
And try to get on as a beat reporter or something like that.
Right.
But I just didn't see myself staying around the area necessarily, especially in a really small town. And that's inevitably what I would have had to do starting out.
Right.
You know, work,
that's true.
Work up from the bottom to the top. And
yeah, you start at small markets. And
right,
then
you'd start in a very small market doing assignment stories and things like that. So I wasn't too privy to that that idea, that notion. So I actually moved home for a little while. The cliche, right? I kept joking with my parents that they're going to make a new movie about me, Failure to Launch, too. But
you'd be amazed at how many people are still at home, you know? I mean, it's...
Right.
Yeah, the economy has really put people back... living with their parents.
Oh, it sets you back. It does. It's really bad right now. And, you know, I moved back just to kind of gather myself and decide what I wanted to do.
Right.
And that's when I had the genius idea to move to LA.
Oh, wow.
But, I mean, I stayed there for a few months. And
yeah.
My dad owns my mom and dad own car washes and convenience stores in the area in Texas.
Wow.
San Antonio, Hondo, Castroville. So I worked a little bit for him and kind of got my feet wet in a few things around San Antonio in communications, but there's only so much you can do there.
That's true.
So then I decided to make the big jump.
Yeah, and move to where it's all happening.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, everybody comes here. And that's the thing, though. It makes it very difficult because there's a lot of competition.
Oh,
there's a lot of great people, very talented people, and everybody's trying to get the same jobs, you know?
They sure are. You know, it's so funny because I have a friend who was casting a pilot, a very low-paid pilot. I mean, it was, I believe it was a SAG-ULB, which stands for SAG Ultra Low Budget.
Okay.
And the minimum pay is $100 a day for SAG-ULB, and that's what the rate was for this particular project.
Right.
And when he posted it on the go-to casting site, which is LA Casting, he said he had over 500 submissions within 2 hours.
Wow.
Yes, if you can believe it. So just even comprehending that is difficult for me.
Right.
Because, I mean, obviously people aren't doing it for financial gain because it's...
They want to promote their careers.
It's negligible.
Right.
But it is about the dream. You know, no one does it for money. I don't do it for money. I mean, I love it. I love what I do. All the TV and film and radio.
I know. And that's the thing. I mean, if you do things for money, you're going to go and work as a, you know, in an office or something, you know, in corporate America.
Right.
But when you want to make, when you want to make your life interesting and fun and enjoyable, then, yeah, you have to go through these things, you know. And people don't understand that. I think the biggest time-consuming thing that you have when you're in entertainment is looking for gigs.
That's
what requires the most of your time.
It is. It's very time-consuming.
Right.
It is low return on investment a lot of times, unfortunately.
I know.
But then, you know, you get that little break or maybe even that big break and it makes it all worth it. So
That's true.
And that's the dream.
I think that's why people do that, you know, because I say to myself, you know, I wouldn't even begin to compete in this market. You know, it's just too much. There's too many people and there's too much rejection and, and difficulty and everything and unemployment. But I guess the prize is so big that people are trying everything, you know. I mean, they want the fame, you know.
Right. I mean, it goes back to the whole notion of playing big to win big.
Right.
You know, I mean, you make huge sacrifices to come compete in this city. And everyone who does knows, you know, unless you're from here and your family's here. But most people, like we talked about earlier, aren't from here.
Right.
Move here, uproot their lives, and start a new life and hit the grindstone and try to make it.
Right.
And it's a big risk.
Yeah.
It's a big risk.
It really is.
And it takes a certain kind of soul to be able to withstand.
That's true. You need to be resilient.
Right. But it's worth it, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's worth it. And at least you can't say you didn't try, right?
Exactly. You know, and I believe in following your dream.
Like
not everybody is meant to work in an office from 9 to 5. Many people are creatives, and they don't mind, you know, being unemployed for a while as long as they can do things they enjoy and create, you know.
Right.
So, so I see that. Well, so you've been here for 2 years now.
Yes.
Obviously, you like it. You're local now.
Oh, gosh. I don't know about that, but I'm getting there.
Yeah.
What do they call it? An Angelino?
Angelino. Yeah.
I'm getting there.
Yeah, I know. Well, this is cool. Well, we're happy to have you in L.A.
Thank you.
You know, we always like good people in L.A. and stuff, so... it sounds like a fascinating story you've got there. And
it's still growing.
Yeah, you're still in the middle of it, you know.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very
work in progress, for sure. But I'm enjoying the ride. I think that's the most important part.
Yeah. Do you miss what do you call it? The barrel racing?
I do. I especially miss it when I watch the National Finals Rodeo on television. Mm-hmm. We have a friend named Nancy Hunter. Good luck, Nancy. Woohoo. She's running in the finals this year, and she has an amazing horse named Fuzz. And they're from Utah, Fred and Nancy. And we're so happy for them. We're actually going out to Vegas to watch them on the 11th, 12th, and 13th. I'm driving out, and my family is flying out. My dad, my mom, my two sisters, and my brother-in-law.
Wow, so everybody.
Everybody. Of course, provided my sister gets clearance to fly, my pregnant sister, Juliana, because, oh my gosh, I don't know about if I'd want to do that. But hopefully she will get cleared and we'll be all good to go. But we're flying out to watch her and just watch the rodeo. And so I'm really excited about that. But when I see things like the NFR... I do miss it, of course. And I miss it day to day. You know, it used to be my life. And I miss riding and competing and the rush. And maybe that's why I got into television and radio. I'm a bit of an adrenaline junkie. So, you know, when I come down that alley and I'm looking between the ears of that horse, and I'm about to let him break and run to the first barrel, that adrenaline is the biggest natural high you can ever have. So television and radio kind of fill that void for me, I think, because it's a bit of a high as well.
Yeah, very cool. So, I mean, are you like into extreme things too?
Oh, nothing too extreme.
Because you need adrenaline. I don't know, bungee jumping, things like that.
You know,
that,
I don't. Nothing crazy, crazy like adrenaline seeking. But I like to do, by adrenaline, I mean personally challenging, I think.
Right.
You know,
right.
I don't mean extreme necessarily, but just like setting goals for me is an adrenaline rush, and meeting those goals is an adrenaline rush, and you know, doing things outside the box is an adrenaline rush, and I'm very spontaneous, so I might just up and decide to, you know, go to Santa Barbara for the weekend, or, you know, I don't know.
I know, it's cool. I don't like planning these things either, you know, just like whatever you feel at the moment. You do it.
Right, you know? Exactly. Life's a lot more fun like that. But I do miss rodeo, and I miss the people. Salt of the Earth people are in that business, for sure. But I'm about to get a little bit of a taste of it next week. So
yeah, that's true.
I'm excited.
Yeah, so you're going to Vegas. Have you been there before?
Oh, all too many times.
Really,
Yes, I know. I love Vegas.
Do you really?
I do, but you know what? I can only stay for a few days.
Yeah.
I think 2 or 3 days is my max.
Yeah, you can't stay much longer than that.
You can't. I mean, it is just so taxing in a multitude of ways.
Right.
And any length of stay past about 3 days would just kill me, I think.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's true. Most people just go for the weekend for a couple of days at the most. You know?
Right.
To me, like 2 days is tops.
Right.
You know, and I used to live there.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, I used to live there.
Oh, whereabouts?
In fact, I lived there twice. I lived there in the 70s and then in the 90s.
Oh.
And the 70s was a good time to live in Vegas. A lot of partying going on.
Oh, I bet.
And it was a small town still, you know. So it was easy to meet people and stuff. And there was a lot to do, you know. Today, it's just like the strip and the strip and the strip, you know.
I mean, exactly. I go for the buffets. That's what I like. I'm just ready to chow down at those buffets. I mean, I got to get my money's worth. Those things are pricey.
That's the thing. The buffets are very expensive now. And that's just the thing. When I lived there in the 70s, the buffets were used to bring people in. So it would be like $5.95.
Oh, stop it.
$9.95
at the most. I'm living in a dream.
You know?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but that was in the 70s, you know. But still, it wasn't a lot of money.
Right.
You know, and today it's like, what, $30, $40?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. If you're lucky, probably more like $50. I don't know.
Yeah, it depends where you go, I guess.
I'm the one that goes back with like 3 plates, stuffing it in my purse, trying to, like, I'm going to get my $50 worth here.
Yeah, there you go.
Watch out, Caesar's Palace. I'm getting my buffet money worth.
Yeah, you got to not eat all day to actually enjoy this.
Exactly.
You know?
I know.
There's just so much food that you want to try everything.
But see, to me, it's just like a playground.
Yeah.
Vegas.
Yeah.
I love that about it. I'm just, once I step into that casino, I'm like, woohoo, who's down for some poker? Come on. Play me, guys. Play me. So I'm ready. I can't wait. I'm
Sounds
excited.
Cool.
Texas Hold'em, here I come.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, we got a couple minutes. I just wanted to bring up, I mean, it definitely deserves more than a couple minutes, but the decision of the grand jury in New York for Eric Garner, the guy that was chokehold, that died from a chokehold by a police.
Right.
And did you actually see the video?
I have seen the video. I
just saw it yesterday for the first time.
Yeah.
And you know what? There's no doubt that these cops definitely went beyond what they should have done. This guy was like he couldn't breathe. And he didn't do anything. I mean, he was just selling cigarettes without tax.
Right.
You know, that's about it. But they just like jumped at him and, you know, and strangled him and drove his head to the ground and everything. I mean, it was just like disgusting to watch.
It's disgusting. It's insane. And, you know, since that incident and since the Ferguson incident, so many videos have been surfacing of police brutality. And,
right.
You know, police are important. We do need them
to protect us.
Right. Yes, and to maintain order and everything. But there is such a fine line, right. And we just cannot let power corrupt.
Right.
And I think so many times that happens within a police force. There are so many great people in the police force, don't get me wrong. But there are just a few bad apples here and there.
There you go.
And that is a crime. Yeah. Anybody else would be punished for that, and they can't hide behind a badge.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. Now, I don't know all the facts, so I can't judge the jury's decision.
Right.
I'm sure that there were a lot of facts that we do not know, the general right, public
exactly.
doesn't know.
And we tend to judge people in the court
right.
of public
so,
opinion.
Right. So I can't judge their decision, but I do know that he shouldn't have died.
Yeah.
I mean, and did you also hear about the New York representative who said that he died because he was obese?
Really? Is that what he said?
That's wow. what he said, Mr. Wow. Peter King.
Wow.
Yes. Peter King believes Garner's poor health caused his death, according to MSNBC.
Right. That's the thing. Now we have videos, you know, and you can't lie.
You can't lie.
Everything's right there.
Exactly. If a picture is worth 1,000 words, a video is worth 10,000.
There you go.
So, yes, it's a really tragic situation.
Yeah.
And
yeah. I know. We can't do it justice in talking about it for a couple minutes.
You can. And, definitely excessive force was used.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is the show. Kelsey, thank you so much for joining me.
My pleasure.
You're definitely
thank you
a lot of
me.
Fun. Very interesting person.
Thank you.
And everybody, thank you for listening. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you soon.
Bye, guys.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.